Well, welcome everybody to the third week of our series called Mind Matters. In this series, we're exploring how to turn fixed, negative, unproductive attitudes into new ways of thinking that feed our faith and nurture our souls. How you think affects what you believe. If you take on a mindset of despair, can't do it, not enough, everything's wrong, that's going to challenge your life. That's going to challenge your thinking. Your faith will suffer. Your life will suffer. But Scripture says that we should have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. The same mindset as Christ Jesus. And so when you change your thinking and take on the mind of Christ, you're taking control of your life. When you say no to a defeatist mentality, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, root out the enemy's lies that have lived in your brain for far too long. Replace them with what God says about you, the truth about who you really are. You'll create new pathways in your mind that will lead to life, victory, and peace, and a winning mindset. Now, here's another change you can make. As we said last week, one of the most powerful things you can do is to be open and honest with God and other people about what's going on in your life. When you are real about your struggles, what you're going through, God shows up with his power. When you're willing to take off the mask, you know, drop the mask, the pretend act, the fake you, the perfect, so-called perfect you, when you take off the mask, that's when God goes to work. You'll see so much more growth and success in your life. And today I want to talk with you about another positive transformation of the mind. I want to talk with you today about mindful reframing. How happy you are depends a lot on how you see things. If you go around all day angry, you know, upset about the traffic, the weather, your annoying coworkers, your classmates at school, your difficult teenagers at home, all the things you have to do, you'll never find peace. Your mind is a powerful filter. It can distort how you see things. For example, scientists tell us that we all have something called a negativity bias. That means we tend to focus on what's wrong instead of all the incredible blessings that God has given us. Your husband doesn't ever do the dishes or take out the trash like you ask him to, doesn't help with the children. It's easy to get upset about that. But what about all the good things he does do? Feels like your wife is always nagging you about that honey-do list when all you want to do is relax on the weekends and hide out and veg out in your man cave. Why not thank her for keeping things organized in the household and be grateful that you're healthy, can move, and do the things you need to do to take care of your family and support them? Tired of cleaning your house, work getting on your nerves, the pressure's too much? Turn it around. Praise God that you have a house to clean, that you have a job to go to. So many people would love your house, your job. They would love to live your life. Distorted thinking that always sees the negative, the challenge in everything, moves us away from God, makes us ungrateful, and turns us into angry, disgruntled people. A friend of mine recently was injured. It was a pretty bad accident. Took a very long time to recover. At first, she was, you know, down about it, sour, bitter, kept thinking about all the things she couldn't do anymore, you know, her limited mobility, stuck at home. But later, she came to me and told me that she had reframed her thinking about it, that she had realized that there were some positive side effects, some silver linings to what happened. One of them was becoming a much more patient person. There are times when we all need to shift out of the negative, like my friend, and do some mindful reframing. A couple of months ago, when our missions team went to Dominican Republic, we met with a woman named Gloria, visited her in her home. She had was living there with her daughter and her three grandchildren. As missionaries, you know, wanting to help out, we needed to know what the problems were, the challenges that people faced in that neighborhood that we have sort of adopted over the long term. We needed to know what they were going through. So we asked Gloria to tell her about those things in her life, and she did. She said, you know, there's no drinking water. We have to go get it somewhere. There's no drinking water. Once every 2 weeks, if they're lucky, they get a few minutes of electricity. Gloria pays $8 a month to a neighbor to pipe in non-potable, non-drinking water to her home. She gets about 30 minutes at a time, twice a week, so she can do her laundry and her family can take bucket showers. They have no health care, no way to get to a doctor or to a hospital. Every day, Gloria and her family struggle to access the basic necessities of life you and I take for granted. But what I found remarkable was that after answering our question, what she was facing, the struggles, the challenges, her face brightened. And she started smiling and said, "You know, I love my neighborhood. It's such a peaceful area, a safe place. Our neighbors all get along, look out for one another, ready to help each other in a pinch." Well, we said, "Gloria, that's great, but keep going with the problems, the challenges." And she kept saying, "No, I don't really have any problems, any challenges." I look at her problems, I'm like, I couldn't live like that. But she's like, no, she just wanted to talk about the good things in her life. She wanted to give thanks to God for everything that was good. Gloria is someone who knows how to turn every struggle into a reason for joy. Every difficult situation, every hurdle into an opportunity to praise God and be happy. She is a great reminder and example to all of us of the power of mindful reframing. The key to turning a negative into the positive is hope. It always begins with hope. That's what St. Paul says in the second reading today. Hope does not disappoint. It will not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that we have been given. And when you walk in the Spirit, when the Spirit lives in you, that means you have the power, the ability to find hope in any situation, to praise God in the middle of the storm, to stay at peace during a crisis, to choose gratitude, gratefulness, even when things go wrong. "Oh, Father Roger, you don't know what's going on in my life. My health took a turn for the worst. Things are looking bad. I lost that big contract, my best client. My company's going to go under. I lost my job. I'm laid off. Can't find another one. My kids are out of control. I'm in this big legal battle." Let me encourage you. Whatever's going on, you still have the ability to find hope, to change how you think about the situation, and to reframe what's going on. Think about all the times when you had a great plan for your life. This is how it's going to go. But God ended up having an even better plan when you look back on it. Or those times when you really wanted something. "God, please give me this girlfriend or this boyfriend or this thing or that. And it didn't happen and you were devastated. And then retrospectively you look back on it and you're like, "Thank you, God. You protected me in the end." Like maybe you met someone and you thought, "This is the love of my life. This is it. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with him or her." And then you broke up and you were heartbroken and maybe even blamed God. But looking back years later, you're like, and I've heard this from people, you're like, "Thank you, God. You helped me dodge a bullet. That person would have not been right for me." Maybe you lost your job and, you know, at some point in your career and it was upsetting. But then now you realize, you understand that God allowed that to happen because he was setting you up for even a bigger opportunity and even greater success. Or maybe someone didn't believe in you in your life. A parent, a friend, a high school counselor. It hurt on the inside. But now you see it. You see the truth that gave you the determination to work hard and be successful. Here's the principle. Look for the good and you will see it, because you only see what you look for. Look for the good and you will see it, because you only see what you look for. Sometimes, you know, we think the problem is us. It's easy to feel ashamed of the mistakes we've made, the things we've done wrong, call ourselves broken, unworthy. But when you think of yourself like that, you're inviting it to become a reality. You're moving in that direction of those negative labels. You become what you believe about yourself. Reframe your thinking Turn it around. Try a different approach. Look at what God says about you. I love this second reading today when Paul says, God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to be perfect people for him to die for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Your heavenly Father does not see you as broken, weak, mediocre, second-rate, hot-tempered, an addict, a hopeless sinner. He sees you as valuable, as worthy, a masterpiece, someone worth saving. Paul goes on to say, indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? See, you are not an enemy of God. You have been reconciled to him. You are redeemed, anointed, blessed. Every time you're tempted to get down on yourself about something, I want you to think about what Jesus said in the gospel today. I will not reject anyone who comes to me. In God's eyes, you are precious. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are well equipped and capable of doing great things for the Lord. One of the biggest fears that a lot of people have is death. Where do we go after this life is over? What really happens on the other side? Today on All Souls, we remember our loved ones who have gone before us. And it's natural to be maybe a little concerned for them, you know, wonder if they're at peace, where they really are. But the Book of Wisdom today tells us that we don't need to be afraid, that we can reframe our thinking about death. Death is not the end. It's not game over. It's a new beginning. The first reading, the Book of Wisdom, says this. They seemed, meaning those who are dead, seemed, in the view of the foolish, to be dead. And their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. God was saying, what looks like a loss is really a victory. What feels like the end is the beginning of eternity. Because as the scripture goes on to say, the souls of the just are in the hand of God. God has tested them like gold in a furnace and found them worthy of himself. And now, seeing him face to face, the passage says, they shall shine and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. Do you know what stubble is? I didn't. I had to look it up. Stubble is the leftover part of the wheat plant after it's been harvested. It's like the little stubs that stick up from the ground. And apparently, they are very, very dry at that point after the plant has been harvested. And they can easily catch fire. The author was saying, faithful people will blaze with God's glory in eternity. They will be radiant, unstoppable, like sparks lighting up the world. They are not gone. They will judge nations, rule over peoples, and God will be their king forever. That means they are actually alive and sharing in God's victory over suffering, over evil, and even over death itself. A friend of mine lost his wife after a long battle to cancer. They spent many happy years together raising their children and making lives. And they spent their retirement years walking along these ancient paths in Europe. You probably heard of it. It's called the Camino de Santiago. It's apparently 800 miles of trails, all starting in different places through Europe, throughout Europe, but then ending up in one place, the gravesite of St. James in Spain. Well, my friend and his wife had completed almost all of the 800 miles when she suddenly got sick and was diagnosed with a terminal illness and went to be with the Lord later. Well, my friend was so devastated. He was so sad, crying every day. He was in deep grief. It seemed like he would never get over the loss. But then, one day, he changed his thinking. he started going to his wife's gravesite a little more often than he had. She's buried in this beautiful place right next to St. Mary Magdalene Church out here in West Marin. It's the oldest cemetery in Marin County. It's so beautiful, overlooking the lagoon there. Now, he goes there once a week, and he spends more than half the day. He spruces up her plot, plants new flowers, or puts new flowers down, and gets out a lawn chair and starts talking to her for hours, telling her everything that's going on with the family, what their children and grandchildren are doing, the good, the bad, the ugly. For my friend, he realized that he's, in those few minutes, in those few precious hours every week, he and his wife were not apart. They were together again. And then he said this to me, which really got me. He said, "Father Roger, when I'm sitting there talking to her, it's like I see the kingdom of God right in front of me." For my friend, death was not the end, because he knew and understood what Jesus said in today's gospel, that the will of God, the will of his Father, is that everyone who sees and believes in the Son may have eternal life, and I shall raise him up on the last day. My friend realized that that love does not end at the grave, that hope does not die with the body. And when he sits there in front of her gravesite and talking to her, he's not surrounded by loss and sorrow. He's surrounded by resurrection. That's the power of mindful reframing. When all you see is the negative, the loss, the disappointment, everything that's gone wrong, it can cloud your vision. It can cloud your spirit. Your faith suffers. You feel far from God, angry, resentful, bitter, ungrateful. But God knows what you're going through. He sees the challenges you're facing. And you can't control every thought, that's true, but you can change your thinking about the situation. You can see the good even in the trouble. You can look at how big our God is instead of how big the problem is. Don't keep looking through that distorted lens. When life gets heavy, when things look bleak, don't let your thoughts drag you down. Reframe it. Choose hope. Choose gratitude. Choose the mind of Christ. You can still be that positive, happy, talented, capable, resilient, faithful person God created you to be, even in that troubling moment, when you have the courage and take the time to discover the power of mindful reframing.